If I'm not mistaken, the last thing we did was the end of Perek Gimel. So that means that we're up to Divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Dalet. Okay, Divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Dalet. This is where we are up to.
Anybody else need Divrei Hayomim?
If anyone does not have a handout, I'll just quickly put this together. Okay, now this is a very difficult parak. The first nine parakim are difficult. After the nine parakim, it gets a lot easier. It gets more historical. There's a narrative. But until we get to the end of the nine parak, there's a lot of names, as you're familiar with, from the first three parakim. And now in parak Dalet, we continue to go into a detailed list of names. Now parak Gimel, parak Dalet, it gets even more complicated because through parak Gimel, pretty much, we know who's related to, we know who's who. Every person, we can identify who their father is, who their grandfather, pretty much, more or less. Now we come to Perek Dalet, we're going to have lists of names, and the dots are missing. We don't really know who these people, who they are. We have a name, we have a family, and who are they? From who is their father, their grandfather, how do they connect all the way back to Adam HaRishon? Now it appears that when this was written, I'm making this assumption based on what I've seen in the Mefarshim, then when this was written, it was Pashat. It was simple. It was not necessary for the one who wrote Divrei Hayamim, for the Chazal, who put together Divrei Hayamim, Nechemiah and the Anshei Knesset HaGadol put together Divrei Hayamim, to go and mention every single little detail, because these were things which are so simplistic to the people living in the time, who they were. Unfortunately, through the years of Golus, we've more than 2,000 years, much of this has been lost to us, and a lot of these things are very mysterious. But right now, let's just see a little bit, try to do this the best we can, going through some of the names. Chazal, besides the Pshuta Shel Mikra, trying to get the people, the names, and the people exactly who they are, Chazal have very complex, elaborate drushos, expounding upon the names and telling us that the names refer to biblical figures, Ishei HaTanach, and each name alludes to a certain need, a certain accomplishment of one of these special individuals. We'll get more flavor as we go through the Pesukim, but let's try to go through at least some of the basics today. Okay, it's Divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Dalet. So we're now going to focus on the family of Yehuda. Bnei Yehuda. Pasuk Dal, Perek Dal, Pasuk Al, Bnei Yehuda. We have here in one Pasuk, Peretz, Chetzon, V'charmi, V'chur, V'shoval. Now that's very misleading. This Pasuk is extremely misleading. It'll be good to look at this Pasuk, this list in connection with what we learned in Perek Gimel, the handout, but we don't have the handout in Perek Gimel now, so let's just look at the handout I have here in front of us. I tried to reconstruct of who these people really were. Now, first of all, we'll review the pasuk one more time. On the very top, we have Yehuda. Then we have Peretz. Now, Chetzon was not another son of Yehuda, as the pasuk would seemingly be translated. If you look at this pasuk on your own, you would say, well, Yehuda here had five sons. One was Peretz, number two was Chetzon, number three was Chami, number four was Chor, number five was Shoval. But that's not the case. Peretz was a son. Chetzron was a grandson. Chetzron was the son of Peretz, as you see in this handout. Then we have Carmi. Now, Carmi was a great-grandson, but not from the son Peretz, from the son Zerach. Okay, we know that these two children, Peretz and Zerach, were children from Tamar, from his daughter-in-law. They really were married to Erva Onan, and then Tamar ended up marrying Yehuda by mistake. We know the story. And they had twins, and she almost was killed. Hotziu haviti soreif. And the very last moment, lemi hachosemes v'ha tabas ha'ele. And Yehuda said, sotka mimeni, so she was spared, and Peretz and Zerach were born. So Zerach was the second son, and he had a son called Zimri, as you see this on the left side. And Zimri had a son called Carmi, and that's the Carmi mentioned over here. Then when it says Chor, Chor goes back to Peretz. Peretz is the great-great-grandson of Yehuda. You have Yehuda, Peretz, Chetzon, Kalev, and Chor. And then Shoval is a grandson of Chor. Now, if I'm not mistaken, it could be I'm wrong, but it appears that Chor had a son also called Kalev. So there were two Kalevs. There was Kalev who was the great-grandson and the great-great-great-grandson of Yehuda. So when we talk about Shovel, Shovel is all the way down. There's Yehuda, Peretz, Chetzon, Kalev, Chor, Kalev, and then comes Shovel. So that's a mouthful. We have here one Pasuk, five individuals, which seemingly will be five sons, but you know the secret, these are not five sons, these are five of his descendants, and that's how they're presented. Obviously, these were the most significant. Their impact upon Klal Yisrael is the greatest, and that's what we're trying to do here in Divrei Hayamim. Yeah?
I don't know, might be mistaken, but Chor in the Chumash, I think, is with a tough, Torah
of Chor in the Chumash is with a
tough instead of
Tor?
Tour,
yeah. No, Chor, there's
no
Chor.
No.
Okay, I know, I think Chor, the Chor with the Ches, maybe there's someone else. But okay, for right now, we'll leave it here. We'll leave who we have here now. Now to
Kalev, his father was Yefune, no?
Kalev ben Yefune, so that was another Kalev. Okay, Kalev, so we have to know who is Yefune. I don't know, it gets complicated. I'm not clear. We're going to mention, so we'll see. Sometimes one person was called by multiple names, and that's very common. Now let's just see the Mitzudos and Pasuk to bring out this very important point in Pasuk after Mitzudos David, Bnei Yehuda. Now we can look at the Mitzudos together with the people with the handout. Shalom Aleichem. Thanks. You look at the pasuk the Mitzudos pasuk al Bnei Yehuda. Baal, first of all, the Mitzudos says Baal Hashlem Yichus Bnei Yehuda. We're coming now to complete the Yichus of Yehuda. In Perek Gimel, we spent a lot of time going through the Yichus of Yehuda. It's selective. These are not the only children of Yehuda. Yehuda had a lot of children, and that we learned in Perek Gimel. All different wives, and there was a lot going on there. This is just a small piece of the pie. Bala Hashlem, Yichus Bnei Yehuda, V'derech Kitzara, Maskir Shuv Mimi Banav, Ubnei Banav. We just mentioned very shortly a couple of his children and grandchildren, or his progenies, his descendants. Vehem. First we have Peretz Ben Yehuda. Okay, that's number one. That's a son. Then we have the Chetzron Bino. Chetzron is the son of Peretz. Then we have Carmi. Who is Carmi? Carmi is not from the line of Peretz. Carmi is Ben Zimri. Who is Zimri? Who is Ben Zerach, who is Ben Yehuda. So you see, we're going to the other side. Okay, we're going to a great grandson from a different child. The Chor, who is Chor? Well, Chor was a great-great-grandchild of Yehuda. He is Ben Kalev, Ben Chetzron, period. And then we have Shovel, who is really all the way down there. He is Ben Kalev Ben Chor. He is the son of Kalev, who is the son of Chor. And we know from before that Chor's father was Kalev, whose father was Chetzron, which basically tells us that there were two Kalevs. And that's very common in Tanakh. You have many people with the same name all over the place. Even David, even the most famous names, you have all over the place. You have many people with the same names. And here we have two Chors. Maybe that Kalev died young and Chor named his son after his father, Kalev. Okay, so this is just an opening. And I think you get a flavor from this one little pasuk here, five names, of how complicated this perek is going to be, of how far we jump around. And that's at least getting that appreciation is worth everything.
Compare that to the end of Rus, which says Ela told us Peretz, right?
Right.
And then a whole bunch of different names.
Different names, right? Because we're jumping down, right? We in there at the end of Rus, we don't go direct. We go down, we skip generations to get to the major figures. Absolutely right. We skip there, and it's a very good point, the very misled. You just learn Rus, it just sounds like you have a very simple family tree. Nothing is simple. Nothing is simple, and at least if we realize that we've accomplished quite a bit in appreciating the depth of what is taking place over here. Now we come to Pasig Beis. Another person that's in the middle of nowhere, Ura'oya ben Shovel. We have here Ura'oya, the son of Shovel. So that's pretty good. We're going down now on this chart. After Peretz, Chetzron, Kalev, Chor, Kalev, Shovel, we have a new person, Ura'oya. Now this person, Ura'oya, was mentioned in the previous Perek. His name is now reappearing. He's getting a double dips. He's getting mentioned twice. Honorable mention. Ura'oya ben Shovel, Holid Es Yachas. V'yachas hoiledes achumai. You see this on v'yes lohad. So you see here on this chart, we go yachas. He had two children, achumai and lohad. Eile, all of these, who are these? Ro'oya, yachas, achumai, and lohad. Mishbechos hatzarosti, they all were part of this clique. This group called the Tsarossi conglomerate. Okay, there was some type of corporation called, you had to be a member, have stock, and they only were people from Ro'oya, Yachas, Achumi, and Lohat. Now let's look over here at the Mitzvot Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis Ro'oya, Hu Haro'e Ha'omor Lamala. So he's another name. His name was their Ro'e. The Ro'e is the seer. He was mentioned in the previous parak, Gimel parak Beis, I don't remember where, someone before parak 4, and he was known as a different name. That's also interesting because that's a very big problem. Make things very complicated. People appear multiple times by different names. Here he's called Re'oya, and there he was called Roe. Eile mishpachos hatzarasi. So the Mesuda says, "Ha'amol amala sheyotzu mibnei Shovel." The descendants of Shovel are all called the mishpachos hatzarasi. Now Rashi pasuk beis Ure'oya. He points out the difficulty that we're going to encounter through this parak, and until we come to the end of the parak test. Ure'oya, kein minik hayachas. This is the custom of describing the lineage of the Jewish people, at least the divrei hayamim. Afal pishloi hiskra dayin ure'oya. We never mention this person here. What's going on? I mean, according to the Mitsudos is telling us that really Ro'oya is Ro'e. But take it very simply, the way at least Rashi learns, is that no, not necessarily, Ro'oya can very well be a new person. He's someone that we have not mentioned before. Just because the name Ro'oya is similar to the word Ro'e, does not necessarily mean they're the same person. We're listing people, just spurts of generations of people in the middle of nowhere. We're not connecting them on the timeline. See, if you'd write a book, it's unacceptable. You have to go and have everything has to be traced back. As Yichus has to go back to Adam Rishon. You have a starting point, and everything has to follow, and everything must be accounted for. And if something is hanging loose, that's it. You're out. It's no good. Computers right into trees. If something is not accounted for, if data is lost, there's no way to retrieve the data. You get an F for the course. You lose your job if you lose those nodes on the tree. That's not the way Divrei Hayam works. You could have nodes that are in the middle of nowhere and we mention them. That's what it says. That's what he's pointing at. He's giving us some foreshadowing what we're going to learn soon. We're going to have soon these people, Chaloh, Tsoras, the Tzachar, the Esnan, the Kotz Holid, Vadayin Lahiskir, Kotz Umaskir Esbana. We're going to have a list of people that we'll come to very soon, and the people, we have no idea in the world who these people are. Who was their father, their grandfather, where they're related to. They're just thrown at us, and they're telling us these names, and that's just the way it is. And the other Farshim say, because we unfortunately lost the big picture. If we were living 2,000 years ago, it would be simplistic who you are talking about. You know, if you go to a base. I went yesterday to a base honor. So they had pictures and pictures, and they were throwing out pictures, and the family was talking. Oh, this Uncle Harry, and this is Uncle this one and that one. If you're an outsider, you don't know what the world's going on. But to the family, it's pashat. Like, this is this one, they're related to here and here, and there's a whole maze, and you need a map, but for them, it's a davar pashat ad ma'od. That's really what's happening over here. We just don't, we're so far removed, we have no understanding, but if we were living in that time, of course we'd understand. I have to go and tell every single time you mention a person's name, yeah, he is the grandfather, and the brother, and so-and-so, and the cousin of so-and-so. That is the nature of these psukim. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. The Eile. And Pasuk Gimel is very complicated. Okay, Ve'ela b'nei Eitam. Now, the word, according to the Mitzudos, the word Ve'ela is going on Chur. It's a very complicated pasuk. What we're doing here is, in Pasuk Gimel, we're connecting Pasuk Gimel to Pasuk Dalet. If you just jump ahead to Pasuk Dalet, in the end of the pasuk it says, Ela v'nei Chur these are the children of Hur Bechor Ephrah. So Hur, we'll see what that means in a moment, was the firstborn of this woman whose name was Ephrah. So Avi Beis Lochem, and from there started the family of Beis Lochem. So Pasuk Gimel V'Ele, is these are also children of Hur. Okay, that's a style of writing that is unique to Ksuvim, especially Divrei Hayamim. Ksuvim is not like English. In English, everything has to be in order. You have to go one word, you have to go, when you read a sentence in English, you're not expected to know the end of the sentence before the beginning of the sentence. One word at a time. And if the words don't flow, then it's not proper grammar. That's not the way it is in Divrei Hayamim. The Pasuk assumes that you know what it's going to say at the end. So Ve'ela means these are also the children of Hur. So here we look at our chart. We have Yehuda, had a son Peretz, had a son Chetzron, had a son Kalev, had a son Hur. And now we're going to list a collection of his children. These are also the children of Hur. Who are they? Avi Etam. Now Avi is a very complicated word. Simply means the father. And in Hanami, so that's what it means according to some of the commentators. That means that we have a person who is nameless. We do not know what his name is. All we know is that he would be the father of a child whose name was Etam. That was a great, influential person in Klal Yisrael. What was his father's name? It's not important. His father didn't accomplish any great thing that we need to know his name. The only thing we need to know is this was the father of the person Etam. That's one approach. Other commentators learned the word Avi means a chief, like an aluf. And this was his name. His name was Chief Etam. He had a title. He had a title, Dr. Etam, Professor Etam. He had a title, Chief. Chief Etam. That was number one. Number two, what?
Tati
Etam.
Okay.
Yeah. Same idea. And the problem is that we're going to have later in this very parak, the same commentators that tell us that the word Avi means a chief will say, oh, bye, but over here in the parak later on when it says Avi, it means a father. So, you know, you're playing a lot of games. Okay, right. So there... Yeah, okay, he was the patriarch of the nation Edom. There it's more of a, and you're right, what is Etam? It's another conversation. Is Etam a place, or is Etam a person? Or maybe it's both. It's a person who founded a country, a city, a civilization. Okay, all of these are mysteries. These are mysteries, and all of these are different, there are different opinions, and there's probably truth to every interpretation that lies in the idea. But we have over here, we'll just call them very simply, everything we're going to do is we're going to generalize. We're not going to go into much detail because the detail will just, it's overwhelming. Avi Etam, that's one person. Then we have Yisrael, another chart. Then we have the Yishma, he's number three. The Yidbash, that's four. Everything over here is on the chart. By Chui, see on the Chor two, they're on the right side. The Shem Achoysam, they had a sister whose name was Hatzeleloponi. I don't know if the hay is part of the name or not, but I just put the hay over there. That was her name, Hatzeleloponi. What an interesting name for a woman. Okay, next. Then we have more. We have Ufinuel Avigdar. Okay, Penuel, he was, let's learn now, simply the chief. That was part of his title. His name was Penuel. He was the chief of this country called Gedar, or he was the father of Gedar. And Ve'ezer, another person who was Avi Husha. Ele v'nechur, all of these people that we've listed over here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 individuals, are all children of Hur. Who is Hur? Who is this person Hur? He is Bechor Ephros. Now, if we remember from Perek Gimel, Kalev had many wives. Well, that's a whole question. Do you have many wives? Do you have one wife or two wives? And we have many names for one wife, many different gulu of that one wife. But simply, on a very simple level, Kalev had many wives. So all of the children, so if Kalev had many wives, one of his wives produced, gave birth to this person called Hur. And there were many other children. Hur had many brothers from many other other from any other wives that his father had. But this Chor, who is Chor? Elav v'nei Chor. Who is Chor? He is the Bechor, the firstborn of this woman called Ephrasa. Ephrasa is a woman. She is a woman who married Kalev, who is Chor. Now here is very tricky. This according to the Mitzudos, Avi Chor was the patriarch of Beis Lochem. Now Chor himself did not found the city of Beis Lochem. Beis Lochem Yehuda. That's the story of Rus. Rus Hamoldia, they came back. Hashava El Beis Lochem. The whole story of Rus. David HaMelech's roots all come back in Beis Lechem. Chor had a son called Kalev, as we see on this chart, and Kalev had a son called Salma, and Salma was the one who founded the city called Beis Lochem. Look at the Mitzudos. I'm not making this up. Mitzudos, let's see the Mitzudos Pasuk Dalet. Okay, look at the Mitzudos Pasuk Dalet. We'll go back to Pasuk Gimel in a moment. Avi Beis Lochem, Salma. Okay, Salma. I know you must have some midrashim up your sleeve.
Well, of course, Salma is mentioned
in that list, right? Okay, Salma ben Cholev bino, Salma, who is the son of Cholev, his son Chor, had Chor had a son called Cholev. Cholev had a son called Salma. Hoya, that person, Salma, he was Avi Beis Lechem. He was the one who established the city called Beis Lechem Yehuda. And now, but the Pasuk is giving credit to Chor. Look at the Pasuk. You read the Pasuk at face value. That's why these Pasuk are so confusing and so difficult. The Pasuk says, Bechor Ephrasa, Avi, it's like the middle of nowhere, these words. Avi Beis Lochem. Who is the Avi Beis Lochem? From the Pasuk simply would mean that Chor is the ancestor of Beis Lochem. He's not. Chor, I mean, he really is, but he doesn't really get the credit. The one that gets the credit is Salmo, who was his grandson. But the Mitzudas goes, Vinikra, Masha Omar, Ben Bino. I'm not sure if Memshin stands for something else. I'm not sure what Memshin stands for in this context. Ben Bino, his grandson, Ucha Omar, Avi shel Avi Beis Lechem. It's as if the Pasuk really said that he is the father of the grandfather of the one who founded. Salma was the grandson of Chor, the Avi Av Hukaaf. But that's common. We always like to give credit to the grandparents. To the grandparents, so we call a grandfather at times by the term father. So even though really Chor's grandson Salma was the one who founded Beis Lechem Yehuda, we're giving credit to Chor as if he was the one who founded Beis Lechem Yehuda. Okay, that's Pasuk Dal. Now we'll just go back. Yeah?
Let me just throw a little more confusion in. No problem. When Rachel died, Derech Ephrasa,
right.
They are identified.
Hashem Ha'asit. Well, that's very common. In Chumash, only in Chumash, especially in Chumash Bereishis.
Yeah.
Chumash Bereishis, there are many locations that are identified Al Shem, what will happen 1,000 years later.
Right.
And Rashi sometimes Rashi doesn't tell you that.
Right.
But he, right, so the Pasuk is telling us, and you can interpret it very simply, because Moshe Rabbeinu really put the stamp, we understand, on Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And when he wrote it, well, it didn't happen yet. I can't say that.
Discussion.
Yeah, okay, right. Okay.
It's like a moving present.
Okay. It's very interesting.
Still, Ephrasa is identified as the same place as Beis Lochem.
Right. So even going off a higher generation, we're giving credit to the wife. Torah is giving a lot of credit to a woman. Ephrasa, it's Chor's mother. Here the Pasuk is saying that Chor is the Avi Beis Lechem, and the truth is, we're really calling Ephrasa, she was the matriarch of Beis Lechem Yehuda. Okay, that's an interesting point. Okay, now let's go to the Mitzvahs and Pasuk Gimel. Let's just go backwards. Okay, the Eile. Musa v'alamikra shelachem. Pasuk Gimel, when we give this list of seven names. Avi Eitam, Yisrael, Yishma, Yidvash, Hatzelelponi, Penuel, and Ezer. So the word ve'ele, if not for this mitzvah, we would go dizzy. We wouldn't have a yad v'raglayim in understanding this sugim. Is going Musa v'lamikra shela acharav. It's referring to Pasuk Dalet. Sha'omar, at the end of Pasuk Dalet, it says, Ela v'nei Chur, these are the children of Chur. The Omar, Milvad b'nei Chur, Haniskarim Lamala, besides the children of Chur that I mentioned, Lamala, which means back in Perek Gimel. In Perek Gimel, we had another list of names of Chur. We had a handout that mentioned those names. Gam Eilo Hayu Banav. These were also his children. Who are his children? Vehem Avietam, Yisrael, and so on and so on. So basically, you have the word Ve'ele is being repeated twice. That's how it is. It's being the word Eile in the beginning of Pasuk Gimel is really a repetition of the word Eile at the end of Pasuk Dalet. They're being used a little bit different. One is to summarize, one is to give the specific details, but it's the same idea. We're listing the seven children of Chur. Okay. Now we come to get Pasuk Dalet we did. Let's just see if we have any Rashis. Okay, no Rashis. Okay, let's now go to Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey Ula Ashur. Now, who is Ashur? So Ashur, the Mitzudo says, Suhanisko Lamala Shoya Ben Chetzra. Now, that means that he appeared in Perek Gimel. So if you look at our chart, and you see from the very top you have Yehuda, on the right side we have Peretz, Chetzron, then I have an arrow or line going all the way to the left. Chetzron had another child whose name was Ashur Avi Tekoa. Okay, another child. So Ashur Avi Tekoa, he had two wives. Now here we're going to come to some very interesting midrashim. Okay, but right now let's first learn the pasuk lefi pshutoi shel mikra. Two women, two different human beings, not one person, two different periods of their life, two different people, two different wives, shtei nashim, and the two wives, one was named was Chela, that's on the right side of Ashur, and the second one was Vinara, Pasuk Vav, Vatelilo Naara, the word Naara, she gave birth to four children, Es Achuzam, Es Chefer, Es Temni, Yes, Ho'ash, Ho'achashtari, and Achashtari. Four children. Eila b'nei Nara, these are the children of Nara. You see the word Nara is repeated twice, similar to how we did in Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Dalet. We repeat the Eila, same style. Pasuk Zayin, uv'nei Chela, who were the children of Chela? They were Tzeres, and here the Kri is Vitzaychar. The Esnan, that's quite a name to give a child, to call a child an Esnan. Esnan is the higher, is the gift, the payment you give a Zona, a man gives a Zona for her service. It's quite a name for a person to give his child. Okay, now, so they have three children. Okay, that's it. Okay, now, yeah.
By Chola, it doesn't say about Talit, while by Nara it says Talit. In other words, by Nara, it's repetitive, it says she gave birth, and these are the children.
Right.
While by Chola, it says these are the children.
Yeah, I don't know. So it requires understanding. It's a very good point. I don't know the answer. There must be something hinted to, something alluded to, in that the birth was different than the other birth.
By Nara, it's repetitive.
Yeah, twice. So what does that mean exactly? So today, if we live in the 21st century, I'm sure they'll come up with all these modern different... all these different high-tech ways of giving birth. But this was not during the time, 21st century, so it must mean something else. I don't know. Now, Pasuk Ches. Let's read a few psukim. Let's just do one more Pasuk. Pasuk Ches. We have now a new person. His name was Coates. I don't think anyone would call their child today a Coates.
A thorn,
okay. Who is Coates? Who is he? Is he a child? Who is he? Who's his father? Who's his mother? We have no clue. No one knows who is Coates. It's just thrown out in the middle of nowhere. The Coates, Holid S, I have over here, I'm in a little box on this chart. He gave birth to Anuv, the Yes, Hatso, Veva. Umishpah, he also gave birth to this family, this child that formed the family, Umishpachos, Acharchel ben Horum. Okay, so he gave birth to who is Coates? Let's see over here the Mitzudos, then we'll discuss some interesting midrashim. Let's see, Pasuk Hey, Ula Ashchur. Okay, who is Ashchur? Pasuk Ashchur was the person that the child of Chetzron, who made a sharp left on this handout, Ula Ashchur. Who Anisku Lamala Shoya Ben Chetzron. Then Pasuk Ches, the coats. Ulai. So the Mitzudo says, I really do not know who this person is. I have no clue. But Ulai, maybe, Hu Echad Mehaniskarim Lamala. He's one of the people that's mentioned above. In other words, there are all these names. We have Ahuza, Mechefer, Temni. We have a total of 7 children that came from Ashkor Ben Avitakoa. There were 7 children from 2 wives, from Nara and Chela. So maybe the Kotz was another name for one of those 7 children. Ulai. So that's Ulai who echad mehen is kam lamala v'hu v'hoi nikar b'beis Hashem mos v'chinema b'rabim kamohu asher nimsa b'zeh ha-sefer. And we have to keep that in mind for the next couple of parakim until we get the parak test that we're going to have in the sefer. Asher lo yizku l'fonim mi hoya u mi yatsa. We have no clue from whom they came from where they came from and who were their parents. We have no clue. We just throw them out in the middle of nowhere, and we have to assume that since they're associated with something that was mentioned previously, they were a relative, a son, a grandson, or perhaps one of the people listed, but just we're referring to them by a different name. Okay, so that concludes. Now let's see over here the Rashi. Rashi says something similar. Ula ashra avita ko hayushte nashem musav lamala. This is going back Lamala, what we learned in Paragimel, the Eshes Chetzron Avia. Now I put her name on this chart, so you see here Peretz. Peretz is son Chetzron, and Chetzron had a wife whose name was Avia. Avia, it's interesting that here it's a woman's name. Avia is also a man's name. We have in the Kinos of Tisha B'Av, it mentions in one of the Kinos that deals with the Crusades, is we compare Avia ben Yeravon. Yeravam, if I'm not mistaken, his name was Avia, who had a son. His name was Avia, and he was zoicher to kavura. Yeravam was a rasha. He divided the malchus. Yeravam ben Nevat. He took with him 10 shvatim, and he set up avodah zara in 2 different golden calves, where the Klal Yisrael worshipped them as avodah zara in Basel and Don, and he did not allow the people to be oile l'regel. To come, Yeravam ben Nevat did not allow the people to be oil regal to come to the Beis Hamikdash. They had instead to go to his sanctuary. And he had a son. His name was Avia. And Avia told the people, you can go. He was one of the guardians at the crossroads. And he said, you can go. And because he allowed the people to be oil regal to go to Yerushalayim, he was Zoiche to Kavura. He was the only child, the only descendant of Yeravam ben Nevat who merited having a regular burial. That's what we mentioned that in the Kinos. Compared to tzaddikim who were not zochet to have kavura. So there it's very obvious, Avia is a man's name. And here, in this Rashi tells us that Avia is a woman's name. That's all in common to have the same name, that it's used both a man and a woman. The age of Chetzron was Avia, Vatel lo yes Ashkor. So the wife of Chetzron was Avia, and she had a child called Ashkor, who is Ashkor Avitakoa. He is the father of Tekoa. Ki lo yichas ad atom. We did not discuss his genealogy until now. The children, the descendants of Ashkor Avitakoa. Okay, now let's go over a few short midrashim over here with regard to Ashkor. Ashkor Avi Tekoa. Now, again, we know the pshat. We know there was a person called Chetzron. Chetzron had a son called Ashkor, Avi Tekoa. He had 2 wives, he had children, so on and so on. We just went through the pshut eshol mikra. However, the Gemara and the Midrashim, they love to take these psukim and to tell us that the name is a reference to a famous biblical figure, and the name alludes to events, major events that occurred in their lifetime. So we start with Ashkor Avitakoa. I'm bringing you from a Gemara Masechta Sota. Masechta Sota, Daf Yud Beis. Who is Ashkor? He is Kolev. This is Kolev himself. Kolev is the grandson of Yehuda. Okay, so instead of saying that Chetzron had a son called... I mean, in a certain way it makes sense. Because in our chart, we have Yehuda, who had a son called Peretz, Chetzron, and Chetzron had a son called Kolev. Chetzro, lefi the pshuta shel mikra, had another son called Ashchor Avitakoa. But according to the Gemara's drasha, no, Ashchor Avitakoa is Kolev himself. You look on the chart. On the chart itself, Chetzro, you go down, straight down is Kolev. If you go straight down, and if you go down to the left, we have a different son, Ashchor Avitakoa. The Medrash says they are one and the same. Ashchor Avitakoa is another name for Kolev. When a wife, Lama Nikra Shmo Ashchor, because the word Ashchor Lashon of Shochor, black, Shehu Shcharu Ponav B'Tanios, he fasted. He fasted. Who was Kolev? He was one of the Meraglim. There were 12 Meraglim, and 10 of them turned out to be Rishoyim, 2 were Tzadikim, Yoshua and Kolev. What did Yoshua? Did not need to do anything. He was protected. Moshe Rabbeinu gave him a bracha, Ka Yoshiacha Me'atzas Meraglim, may Hashem spare you from the council of the evil spies. But Kolev did not have any special bracha, so what did he do? He ran to the Kivrei Avos. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, he fled to Chevron, to daven by the Kavodim of Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, Rachel, Leah, and the Sarah and Rivka. And in addition to that, he also fasted multiple fasts, and to the point where his face turned black, because he should be spared. So that's why he's called Ashchor Miloshen of Shachar. Now, why is he called Avi, a father? Because Shenase Lo Lemiriam Ishtoi Ke'ov. He married Miriam. Miriam was Moshe Rabbeinu's sister. Miriam was sickly. She was not in good health. And her husband was extremely devoted to her, as if he was her father. Not just a husband, as if a father. So that's why he's called Avi. And why is he called Tekoa? Tekoa means to connect. Tekia means to connect. Tekoa means to connect. Why is it called Tekoa? Shetoka etzlibo le'ov shebashamayim. He connected his heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was loyal, devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he's called these three names. A fascinating medrash. We have over here, Pshut Shal Mikra, Chetzron had two sons, Kolev, another son called Ashchor Avitakoa. The Gemara tells us, no, Ashchor Avitakoa is Kolev himself. And he's called these three different names because he blackened himself in fasting, he was a father, he was a loyal husband, and he was devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay.
This chart then is not correct.
Exactly right. This chart is Lefi the Pshut Shal Mikra. Absolutely. The chart is Lefi, take the words, translate them literally. I am Panim Latara. I am Panim Latara. I think I ran out. Let me just pull another one. Oh, okay. Yeah, I am Panim Latara, and that's okay. Then let me just do another next. Now, following in this fascinating approach, that it is the same person, how many wives did Kolev have? So we assume Kolev had only one wife, Miriam, right? How many wives can you marry already? Even though that came many thousands of years later, but it's trouble. So how many wives did he marry? So the pasuk says this was Ashchor Avitakoa. He married two wives, Lefim Shusha Mikra. One was called Nai, one was called Chela. So no, according to the Gemara, the same Gemara, who is Chela Venara, they are the same person. Who? Miriam. Why was Miriam also called Nara and Chela? Chela, Lashon of Chola, sickness, Choli, illness. Nara means youth, vigor, healthy. Nara refers as a connotation of a young, healthy woman. So I read you the Gemara. The Gemara says, Mihain Elazo Miriam, both of these women were Miriam. Shenesis saw Miriam Kishtei Nashim. She was like two women. Why was she like two women? Chela Venara. Loi Chela Venara Hava. Ella Betchila Chela. When she was young, when they got married, she was ill. Shalom Aleichem. She was Chela. She was sickly. Also because she had saras. We know the Siddur that she spoke in Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was perished from Ishtoi, so she had saras. But Lava Soif Nara, She became youthful. She was healed from her illness, from her tzaras, and she became shnishava michelia v'chozra b'saponim kinar. Okay, so that's another fascinating insight. Ashra v'itakai is kalef. He had one wife, Miriam, and Miriam is known as Chela Nara. She was first ill, and then she was healed. Now let's go further. Another Gemara. This is all part of Mamash to Gemara. I'm not making this all simple Gemara. Who did she have? She had seven children. Among the seven children were Tzeres, Tzachar, and Esnan. Now, why? So the Gemara darshins. Now, these are not really children. These are other names for Miriam. So again, Pshutishol Mikra, there's a Chetzron, had a son, Ashra, two wives, and they had children. The Gemara says, no, Tzeres, Tzachar, and Esnan were additional names for Miriam. Now, why was she called Tzeres? Shenaseis Tzara L'chavroseha, everyone's jealous of her. That's hard to say what it means exactly. Kina is not exactly a good thing. She was so beautiful, exquisite beauty. After she was healed, Miriam, after she was healed, all of her friends were jealous. That they also wished they could have that type of beauty. So Tzeres, Lashon of Tzara, Tzara means she was a source of pain, of bad feeling for her fellow others, because they also wanted to enjoy the beauty that she experienced. Why was she called Tzohar? Tzohar means a light. Tzohar nasela teva. Make a tzohar teva. Shayu ponecha doim kit tzoharayim. Her face glowed like the midday. Her face, she was beautiful. And why was she called Esnan? We mentioned that was a child, right? That was a very funny name to give a child, an Esnan, because shekol haroya oisa melech Esnan liishtoi, because when a man would see her, a man would have a taiva to be with his wife. They would see a beautiful woman, and that caused them to have a taiva for nashim. So they would go to their own wife to be with them, and not necessarily their own wife was their own wife interested in being with them. So they would have to appease their wife by giving a gift to their own wife. So when a man would come in contact with Miriam, she was so overwhelmingly, the beauty was so over. Was so great, he was inspired, and he would go to his own wife and would appease his own wife by giving flowers or giving a diamond ring, wife insurance, to his own wife in order that he can be with his own wife. That's why she was called Esnan, is a gift that a man gives a wife. So these are three different names, additional names for Miriam. That's interesting, very interesting. We have the same idea. I just pointed a very interesting idea once heard about Michal Bashol. Today it's very in the news, the women of the wall, right? I just saw a clip yesterday of the women of the wall, so they showed them the davening, wearing tefillin. Okay, alpei halacha, it's not also for women necessarily to wear tefillin. That's a big topic. What are the parameters of halacha when it comes to women wearing tefillin? Obviously, it's not done, obviously, among us. But the Chazal tell us, Michal Bashol wore tefillin, right? Chazal tell us, so they're... right now, okay. We don't know. This is saying the Gemara down in public. I'm not going. That's not my topic. I just once saw a beautiful Vart. Why, Taka, do we know that it's a tradition that Rashi's daughters wore tefillin? Why did Michal Bashol wear tefillin? So I once heard an incredible insight. Chazal tell us Michal Bashol was one of the seven most beautiful women in the world. And the Gemara says her beauty was beyond anything that we could imagine. If a man would see her, just look at her, immediately they would come with a tumah. There would be an ignition of Keri just by seeing this woman. That's how incredible her beauty was. So this, she had a problem. She could not appear in public because she was a source of sin for any man that she came in contact with because of her incredible beauty. So what did she do? How did she solve the problem? She wore tefillin. Why tefillin? Because tefillin inspires Yirah Shemayim. V'rohu kol ame ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikro lecha v'yadu mimecha. When you see tefillin, right away you're in a different frame of mind. You see the shem Hashem, and it inspires you to Yirah Shemayim. The tefillin was a balance, was a check, was a means of preventing men from being nichshol due because of her extreme beauty. Miriam has the same idea. Miriam doesn't say the same thing it says about Michal Bashol, but it says about Miriam that she was so beautiful when a man would see her, he would go to his own wife and give his own wife a gift. same idea of Michal Bashol wearing. It's a very interesting idea of why she wore tefillin. Okay, so these are. Yeah.
Was Michal with the another husband that Shaul took her and gave her, and he was put salt in the mitzvah.
Yeah,
not to be with him.
Right, that was David. That was no. Right. That's another set of story. What's his name? Yeah, I know you're talking about. Okay, that does that. Palti ben Yishai.
Paltiel
ben Shaul's daughter. Shaul. That was one of David's wives. David was married to the daughter of Shaul, and Palti bat Laish, and Shaul took away David's wife and gave it to another man in marriage, and that man did not touch this woman because he knew that she was married to David, and he put a sword right. First of all, let's go further. Very good. Yeah.
You said that Chol and Nara is the same person.
Yes. Yes.
They only discuss the medrash of three children under the name of Chola.
Right.
There's no mention of
that's a very big problem, because that is a very big problem with a lot of these midrashim and gemaras. It's only partial. Like, you follow through. Seres, Sohar, and Esnan. Okay, what about the other four?
Yeah, that's right.
And Echanami, there is. I don't have the Gemara doesn't mention them. The Gemara doesn't mention. So if those three refer to, so the other four also must refer to different names of Miriam. So what do they allude to? The Gemara leaves us hanging. So we don't know. Echanami, that's a problem. You have to look at it on many layers, levels. We have Pshuta Shel Mikra, the chart where we have it. This is all the genealogy, and then we have various midrashim, and some of the midrashim fit better than others, and some of them leave us hanging, leave us in one last medrash, Kotz. Okay, we have now this new person, Kotz. Kotz, we mentioned before, the theme Pshuta Mikra, is hanging in the middle of nowhere. We don't know who he is. We learned the Mitzudos. Perhaps he was one of the names of the seven children. So the Medrash says similar Medrash. Now, this is not a Gemara. Everything I told you until now, I told you three different Gemaras. All Gemara Masechta Sota. This is not a Gemara. This is a Medrash. Medrash Rabba Shmos Rabba. Parsha Aleph Yud Zayin. It says Kotz. Okay, solves the problem. Who's Kotz? The thorn. Kolev. Another name for Kalev himself. Okay? Now, why was he called Kotz? Because Shekotzas Atzas Miraglim. He cut off. Kotz means to cut. Mm-hmm. Thorn also means to cut. He cut off the council of the Miraglim, the spies. He cut himself away from them. I do not want to participate in your evil plot to slander Eretz Yisrael. V'lama Omar Kosov Sholidas Onuv. And it says that Kotz gave birth to three children. Number one was Anuv. Number two was Hatzoveva. And number three was Mishmachos Acharchel. Why? V'lama Amar Hakas of Shalom Es Anuv Elam Shum Shesigel Masim Tovim Be'ez Sheheviu Eshkol Anuvim. Anuv means
grapes.
That he did something very good when he brought the Eshkol Anavim, Shul Molei Kolav Lehevihu Es Eshkol Ki Lo Yirotzo Magim Shehu Eretz, then the Jewish people would not have recognized, they would not have appreciated Eretz Yisrael. That's a fascinating insight. We're saying what the Medrash is telling us. When they came back, they slandered the land. We know them ragging some terrible Lashon. Because of that Lashon Hara, Eretz Yisrael was a Bechiyah L'Doros. They cried that night a Bechiyah Shel Chinam, and as punishment there was a Bechiyah L'Doros. But because Kolev brought back beautiful fruit from Eretz Yisrael, deep down in the minds of Klal Yisrael, they really knew that Eretz Yisrael was a beautiful land. Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava. And therefore, they didn't cry that much. It wasn't Abachia Shel Chinam 100%. If Kolev would not have insisted to bring back some of the beautiful fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and they would have come back empty-handed, the only thing Bnei Yisrael would have heard from the Meraglim is 100% bad news. And then when they would have cried, they would have cried bitter tears. The tears would have been so bitter, Hashem would have said, "You're finished. You're finished, there'll never be an Eretz Yisrael, there'll be a Tisha B'Av, and there'll never be any hope for you." But because Kolev diluted the bitterness of those tears by providing fruit, beautiful fruit. They never saw such beautiful fruit. Okay, bad news. It's a land, Eretz Achelus Es Yoshevecha. There are giants, there's problems, and we're not going to, they cried, but it wasn't with the intensity that the Meraglim wanted, only because Yeshua countered that with the beautiful fruit. So that's the Medrash, an incredible Medrash. We don't yet come across such a thing, yeah.
I think the beauty of that Medrash is that showed coats is a thorn, a negative thing.
Something that's no, it's a different word. What would, yeah.
Grapes.
Okay.
Grapes.
Okay.
In other words, no matter something really bad, they see as bad, but
yeah.
Look, it's really good, the grapes.
Okay. So that's what it said. That's what it says over here. Let me read the words one more time. He brought about good deeds. If he did not bring the, if not for Kalev, they would never have agreed to bring the grapes, the good grapes, and speak at least good words about Eretz Yisrael. Now the last one. Vlominik, why is it called Hatsay Veva? Sha'asat Sivyoina. Sivyoina means the will. Sivyoina is a word Sivi, which means desire. That Kalev did Hashem's bidding, his will, by speaking good about Eretz Yisrael. So here we have a beautiful medrash. Koitz is a reference to Kalev, and he has three different names. He's called Anuv. He's called because of the grapes he brought. He's called Hatzaveva because Sivyona he did Hashem's will. Now, last one is he's also called produce mishpachas Acharchel ben Chorum. Now, what does this mean according to the Medrash Shmos Rabbah? Acharchel now does not refer to Kolev, but it refers to his partner. Who's his partner? His wife Miriam. Miriam was, why was she called by this funny name, Acharchel? Al Shem, Kol Hanoshim Achareha. They went out afterwards, Achar, that's the first three letters of the word, and the last two letters of the word of Chel is Choylois. They danced. And they danced in songs, and they sang Ashur Hashem ki go'o go'o sus v'rochvo rama v'ayam. That's why she's called Acharchel. Achar, Achareha. They went after her with dancing and song to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is she called Mishpachos? Why is she called Miriam called Mishpachos? Shezoch lahamid mimena Mishpachos miyuchosos. That she was the mother, Miriam was the mother of Mishpachos miyuchosos lemalchus. That from her came Kalev, her came Mehem. Different families, from her came children that were great people. Why is she called Ben Harum? Zochsa sheyotzen menu David, sherimim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malchuso. David was a descendant of Miriam, okay, from a different line. You have to know from exactly from Miriam. Miriam is from Kalev. She married Kalev, Yehuda, and from there came David. Like it says, Vayitin oz lemalko. So Harum means exalted. From Miriam came David, and David was someone who is exalted. Vayitin oz lemalko. He gave great expressions of exaltedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these three words, Mishpachos Acharchel ben Harum, are all a code for Miriam. She is called Acharchel, Achar, they came after with dancing. Mishpachos, from her came children and families, the Yuchasais, and she's called Harum because from her came David, who was the one that was the most exalted one from Klal Yisrael. So this is a very interesting approach how to look at these psukim. We'll stop here. So now we're up to Pasuk Tes with Yavetz. So she'll pick up tomorrow.